Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to our today's call on the financial results for 2019, the preliminary results, I should say, and also the guidance for the year 2020 for both the Sartorius Group as well as for Sartorius CDMO. I would like to kick off today's call by talking a little bit about the main highlights of financial 2019, and then I will hand over to Rainer Lehmann, our CFO. The highlights last year clearly have been, first of all, that growth on all levels, sales revenues, order intake, as well as profit, has been in the double-digit area. Particularly Bioprocess Solutions, again, has grown very nicely with a very strong momentum throughout the year across the board. We also have seen robust development overall in lab products and services, we believe. We are happy being able to report on the closing of the acquisition of Biological Industries, the Israeli and cell culture media specialist. As you probably all know, we have signed an agreement to acquire select life science business from Danaher around end of October last year, and we'll give a little bit of outlook on that as well. Overall, we also have a positive view on 2020 for both divisions and the group. Now I would like to hand over to Rainer to talk about the details.
Thanks, Joachim. First of all, welcome from my side to today's call. I will move to the next slide on the presentation. Basically, we see that we had another very successful year, as Joachim just pointed out. Sales revenue rose by almost 15% to 1.827 billion. In constant currencies, we also had strong performance of our order intake, reaching 1.9 billion. In constant currencies, also an increase of approximately 15%. The strong top line really trickled down also to an underlying EBITDA of 495 million euros. It's an over proportional increase of 22.4%, and the EBITDA margin, or that translates actually to an EBITDA margin of 27.1%. Let's keep in mind, if you look basically to the left to comparing it to 25.9%, there's a little bit less than 1 percentage point impact of IFRS 16, which is mandatory this year for the first time. Also want to point out that the acquisition that Joachim just mentioned, that we closed at the middle of December of Biological Industries, really had only a very marginal impact on the figures, which can, to be honest, neglected for all purposes of discussing 2019. If we look at the next slide and have a view on the regional sales split, we really see double-digit growth in all geographies. In the Americas, we're able to increase revenues by 17.4% to 630 million euros, really fueled by BPS double-digit growth and also LPS with a strong performance in this market. In the EMEA region, we're able to increase revenues by 11.2%, despite on the laboratory products and services division being affected by a softer economy. You remember throughout, and especially in Q2, was a quarter that was unexpected low and therefore really had an impact on the overall performance. The Bioprocess Solutions had also considerable growth in the EMEA region in 2019. Asia Pacific, again, a strong year, 17.4% increase in revenue to 463 million euros, fueled again double-digit growth on bioprocess and LPS grew slightly, but there we also have to take into consideration we had quite significant comps that we were faced with in that area. If we have a look on the divisional development, Bioprocess Solutions, really strong demand across all regions, as I outlined, double-digit growth everywhere and throughout all product categories. Very happy there with the development of the division. Order intake increased by 18% in constant currencies to 1.479 billion, also driven by a dynamic project business. Sales increased by a little bit more, by 18.1% in constant currencies to 1.372 billion. and that despite the effects actually that we saw throughout the year, and that was an increased effect throughout the course of the year regarding the loss of certain media revenue. Keep in mind that at the end of 2018, we modified the agreement with Lonza, and the at that time projected growth impact, where we quantified it by around 2 percentage points, actually was already in line with slightly below 2 percentage points growth. That cost us this year on the growth. Nevertheless, 18.1%, very good performance overall. Strong revenue growth trickled down also over proportionally to the EBITDA, increased by 24.5% to 406.8 million, which an increase of the margin by a good percentage point to 29.6. Also keep in mind that not only economies of scale, but also there was a windfall effect of the application of IFRS 16. On the next page, when we look at the laboratory products and services performance, clearly can characterize it as a robust performance in a challenging economic environment. The economic environment dampened our growth on the order intake and sales side, especially in EMEA and Asia Pacific. As I mentioned, in Q2, that was really weak. If we look at actually Q1, Q3, Q4, there the growth rates were really between 6 and 9%. So actually in our expectations, was really the Q2 that that was flat. So on the order intake, nevertheless, we were able to increase by 5.7% to 460 million. And the sales revenue, we could even add a bit more, 5.9% increase in constant currencies to 455 million euros. The growth was also fueled by the very good bioanalytics or a strong momentum on the bioanalytics side. Specifically in specifically in Americas and Europe, where due to a change of the distribution channel in China, we saw actually a decline in the business, which we will recover from though in the current year. So we expect a lot better performance in that region in 2020. The underlying EBITDA margin was able to increase from 18.5 to 19.6% to 89 million. Again, here, slight positive impact due to the IFRS 16. If we look at some key financial figures on the next page, we see a very strong improvement on the operating cash flow, mainly driven by the strong performance of the EBITDA. Financial result increased slightly, but within our expectations, to 32.5 million. The extraordinary items amounted to 28.4 million. Keep in mind in the comparable that actually there, the in 2018, we had a large positive effect due to the cancellation of a liability to Lonza, which was a result out of the modified agreement. In addition, we have the operating cash flow, one effect that we introduced a factoring program at year end, which contributed 37 million. That is also reflected in the 377 million. So strong performance cash flow, 54% increase year over year. Happy with that. On investing cash flow, amounted to 269 million. Keep in mind though here that we have the acquisition of BIs included in that figure. The CAPEX ratio, which since the beginning of this year we are basing our cash flow, the ratio is now 12.3%, so right in line with our expectations that we communicated throughout the year. CAPEX also decreased, of course, as we mentioned throughout the quarters, due to the completion of several larger projects. If you go to the next page, we see our equity ratio. As of December 31st, 2019, 38%, slight decrease, mainly driven also by the application of IFRS 16, which increases the balance sheet sum. Net debt and absolute values slightly increased to over a billion, but the key performance indicator, which for us is the net debt divided by underlying EBITDA, we're able to improve to 2.0, so we're happy to reduce that. With this, I'll hand back to Joachim to comment on the outlook.
Yeah. Thank you, Rainer. For 2020, we expect quite a significant top-line growth again, and also a further increase of our profitability. For the group, we expect 10%-13% of increase of sales revenues in constant currencies, and an increase of the underlying EBITDA margin to approximately 27.5%. For Bioprocess Solutions, the set of figures is 11%-14%, respectively 13% approximately for the EBITDA margin, and 7-10% top line growth for LPS in constant currencies, and approximately 20% of EBITDA margin. Within this figure is the expected non-organic contribution by biological industries. You see in the first bullet point that we expect 1 percentage point of contribution coming for BPS and 2.5 percentage points for LPS. I will talk about that in a minute when I give you an update on the acquisition of biological industries. And for the group, this is then 1.5 percentage points. We don't have any non-organic contribution in here coming through the expected closing of the acquisition of certain businesses from Danaher. I come to that also in a minute. We expect the CapEx ratio to further go down, as we announced already a while ago that we expect this curve here. We expect approximately 10% for 2020. We are happy being able to say that if we achieve this set of figures for 2020, that we then will have fully matched and achieved the midterm guidance that we have given 8 years back, based on our 2011 figures back then, and that was mainly the 2 billion euros of sales revenues for the Sartorius Group. So as said before, I now would like to talk a little bit about the biological industries acquisition. Next page. So just as a reminder, biological industries is a developer and manufacturer of cell culture media. It's specialized and very well positioned in the quite young and upcoming field of advanced therapies, or very often you would also say cell and gene therapies. It's headquartered in the north of Israel, close to Haifa, 130 employees, mainly employed in Israel. Sales revenues last year between 20 and 25 million euros, healthy growth profile. Compared to the profitability of Sartorius, a slightly dilutive EBITDA margin, which explains to some extent the not too high increase of the EBITDA margins that we expect for 2020, just as shown before. And we will allocate approximately half of the business in 2020 to each of our divisions. That is mainly because there is a roughly half of the business really with media that are used in research. Those we will allocate, or this business we will allocate to LPS, and those media that are used or will be used for manufacturing we allocate to the Bioprocess Solutions division. As the acquisition from a technical and legal standpoint has been made through Sartorius Stadium Biotech within SSB. You will see that in a few minutes when we walk you through those figures. The entire effect of this acquisition will be shown on that level as well. But on the group's level, there is this allocation to the two divisions. Closing was just mid of December, so really a negligible impact on the 19 figures. Rainer talked about that before. And the purchase price was around 45 million euros for just a little bit more than 50% of the shares. Agreements in place to possibly increase our shareholdership within the next couple of years. And the strategic background, of course, is that we wanted to build up an own, fully owned cell culture media business after the exclusivity has been removed from the agreement with Lonza. So this is about having an own portfolio and building also our own manufacturing capacities in the future beyond the one that we now already have in Israel. On the next page, I would like to give you a quick update on the acquisition of certain life science assets from Danaher. As announced around the 20th of October last year, this transaction we expect to close in Q1 2020. More precisely, we now expect this to happen rather around the end of Q1, because this transaction, as you are aware of, is subject to antitrust approval in the context of Danaher's acquisition of the GE Biopharma business. This is an ongoing process, moving ahead well, but yet is quite a time-intense process. So therefore, we expect this to happen rather around the end of Q1. The transaction includes businesses for both divisions as well, pretty much also 50-50 from a sales revenue perspective. It includes the bioanalytical tools business. According to our vocabulary, it's pretty much protein analytics, the Forte Bio business from PAL or Danaher, as well as predominantly downstream technologies, also a little bit of upstream technologies that would be added to the bioprocess solutions division, mainly chromatography business. Purchase price that we agreed upon has been $750 million, and the allocation will be approximately 75% to be allocated to the lab division and approximately 25% to bioprocess. All the precise effects on our 2020 figures or the guidance that we will give for 2020, of course, depend on the exact date of closing, and therefore we will specify and update our guidance then upon the closing date. I would now like to walk you also through the figures for Sartorius CD Biotech, and of course, these are very much in line with the bioprocess solutions figures from a divisional perspective within the Sartorius group. So 17% of top line growth we could achieve and have closed at 1.44 billion euros of turnover. Order intake 1.54 billion, 16.2% up from 2018. Over proportionate increase of our underlying EBITDA to 421.5 million. This is an increase of a good 23%. EBITDA margin expansion by 1.1 percentage point, so that we are at 29.3% here. Underlying earnings per share up by almost 20% to €2.85. I think we talked about that before, that this has been really driven by a very strong growth throughout the board from both the product perspective as well as from the regional perspective. By BI did not have any significant impact. We said that before, and we also, Rainer also talked about the impact of from IFRS that we also announced a year ago already to be the case in this or in the last year. On the next page, you see the growth that we have achieved in the three geographies. The picture is almost the same as shown for the group, but yet with particularly Asia-Pacific being even stronger with close to 24% increase in constant currencies and 13% for EMEA and 17.1% for the Americas. Pretty much in for the Americas in particular, we have to say we're really strong comps, high comps, so really strong development here, but also for EMEA and Asia Pacific, I think this has been a successful year with really healthy top line growth. Cash flow also for the Sartorius State and Biotech Group, most of the statements that have been made for the Sartorius Group are relevant here as well. The strong underlying EBITDA and the respective increase here has led to a significant increase of our operating cash flow. We also have seen some impact by the factoring program. You see that in the bullet points on the right-hand side. The fact that the extraordinaries 2018 have been strongly positively impacted by the change of the contract with Lonza, I think is known to you, and of course play here on the SSB level a role, as well as the significant decrease of our CapEx ratio that came in as expected and announced a year before. For the key figures from a financial and balance sheet perspective, I think can be said that this is a very strong position, around 65% equity ratio, just 0.3% net debt to underlying EBITDA, even though we are still investing or have invested on a quite significant level, plus close this one transaction, so further decrease on that level, so very robust position. So, and then finally, without repeating the details on the two acquisitions, the one that we closed, the other one that we announced and hope to close relatively soon, here now the outlook for 2024 Sartorius Stadium Biotech. Top line growth 11 to 14% we expect here, but here as we consolidate the entire BI business, as I said before, the non-organic contribution to this top line growth we expect to be around 2 percentage points, and the profitability is a little bit stronger impacted because of this dilutive effect from BI, so that we expect the margin around 29.5% here and the decrease of the CapEx ratio to around 8% for the Sartorius Stadium Biotech. Also here, one can clearly say that we are very well on track to achieve the midterm guidance that we have set and communicated 8 years ago. So that would it be from our side so far, and now we are happy to run a Q&A. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Patrick Wood with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have three quick ones if I can, please. The first would be within BPS. I'm just curious where you guys are seeing, from your perspective, the greatest demand profile and changes there. And what I mean by that is, like, how's the demand structure in the CDMOs looking relative to in-house? I mean, you'd mentioned a little bit before about, I think it was last call, about CDMO capacity running reasonably high. I'm just curious to get a little bit of color on the BPS demand by sort of rough customer there. That'd be great. The second one would be, and apologies if you mentioned this already on the call, but the factoring program, I know it's very small, but I'm just curious as to some of the background to that and whether that was something that was new. Apologies if not. And then the very final one, we've had obviously some of our companies since Biogen refiled, obviously talking about aducanumab and capacity within the industry. If we do get a success on that side and longer term with Alzheimer's, I'm just kind of curious how you feel about capacity across the industry if we did get some kind of a solution, whether that's aducanumab or something else, just whether that would result in any kind of incremental demand. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. I will answer question one and three, and then Rainer will answer the question two on factoring. So we have to say that we have seen pretty much a balanced demand from the different customer segments. You mentioned CDMOs or in-house in particular. We could also add maybe by similar manufacturers to this. Of course, the relative increase over the last couple of years has been the strongest for biosimilar manufacturers, as this is a quite new segment of the overall market. But we clearly have also seen significant investments by a couple of originators. and then clearly also by CDMOs. So I always would hesitate, or we would hesitate to say, well, it's mainly CDMOs or so, because we really see quite different business models on our client side. Of course, maybe a lot of people would say that there is a certain trend towards outsourcing, but I think you also see some players doing it a little bit the opposite, and the percentage of outsourced manufacturing hasn't increased that substantially so far, even though clearly this is a nicely growing segment without any doubt in the moment. So well balanced, I think, is the fairest answer on that. The question regarding capacities, and you gave one example, what could drive a sharp additional increase in demand. That's a very good question, and I clearly would say that there is reason to expect that the capacities will be further increased in the next couple of years, as we have seen it also over the last few years to quite a significant extent. But I would not at the same time say that there is a short-term capacity shortage or so to be expected. Of course, that is always quite difficult to judge, because it's not such, we don't have a situation where there is a complete and very transparent knowledge about all available capacities, and also in how far such capacities would be flexible enough to be used to fulfill the demand. But overall, I would say there has been quite significant investments into capacities over the last a couple of years, plus the fact that single-use technologies are extremely powerful when it is about building up capacities in relatively short time. So we are positive about the future capacities demand, and we do not at the same time expect any significant capacity shortage. Question two, Rainer?
Yeah. So regarding the factoring, so for 2019 at basically 37 million, it's really part of the diversification of our financing structure. It's another solid way. We actually used to have factoring in the past. Until 2014, we ran a factoring program. Throughout 2020, you will actually see an increase of the factoring volume, but it's purely out of diversification. And an additional financing source, since we have a very attractive accounts receivable portfolio.
Very helpful. Thanks, guys.
The next question comes from the line of Michael Leuchten with UBS. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. One quick follow-up question. Could you provide us with the percentage of your portfolio that is now in biosimilars, given your commentary around CDMOs, in-house and biosimilars? That would be question number one. Question number two, just on the FTC process. So obviously you're closing the Danaher asset acquisition is subject to what happens with the FTC review of the bigger deal. But how do you see that happening? Is that a sequential event, or can you actually work on things in parallel to close that as quickly as possible? So when you say end of Q2, is that you think you, sorry, Q1, is that you think you can get everything done by that point in time? And then third question, on BPS, it looks like in EMEA in Q4, BPS dropped into the single digits growth. Is that just a base effect, or was there anything else going on? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for those questions. So biosimilar is around the 10% mark now, we would say. Maybe as a recap, of course, at this point still influenced by a substantial piece of systems business or equipment business, because very often we are talking about first-time investments into capacities, so that plays a certain role. Percentage would be a little bit lower if we would just talk on about consumables. The FD, FTC process you mentioned, or the antitrust process. It's, of course, the FTC as the authority for the U.S., but then, of course, also the European Commission for Europe and also China plays a role. So all these processes are running to some extent in parallel, but also not exactly on the same timeline. So therefore, we expect the approvals not to come in exactly at the same time, but the closing of the transaction, that will happen at one point in time. It's not possible for several reasons to make a